Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, are you an outlier? You know what I mean. You think differently than most people around you because you're willing to be open-minded and listen and absorb new ideas, new information, experiment, and trust yourself to know better. Because you have an inquiring mind, and that's why you're listening to Energy Stew, because I know my audience is that way. So those of us who are that way often have to be careful about exposing ourselves to the wrong people who might take exception and be nasty to us about it, unless you're interested in getting into arguments with people. But usually they don't go anywhere because those people are not interested in what you know. And so we all love each other who know what we want to find out about and learn more about. And to help us do that is my guest on Energy Stew, who's back again. And I love her so much because she's a pioneer. And it's such an earnest, thoughtful person that we want to hear from her again. Dr. Jane Goldberg. Jane, welcome back to Energy Stew.
Peter, I'm going to take us far afield from what it is that you're thinking where we should go and expecting where we should go. So I'm listening to you make this introduction to the radio show, and I'm just really impressed and flummoxed because you just are talking. You know, you're just saying things that come to your mind. You asked a question and things are coming up for you, coming from your mind. You know, you're having like internal stimulation that you're then expressing into language to your audience. And that's like initiating thought. I don't do that. I'm responsive. And at one point I wanted to write a book called If I'm a Sun and You're a Moon, because I see that some people, they are self-generating from energy and some people are reflective. And I can be a sun, so I can self-generate. But what I'm really excelling at, what I'm really best at is reflecting. And so you want to talk to me about holistic health, but my profession and what I'm really trained in is a psychoanalyst. And as a psychoanalyst, what I do with my patients is I reflect back to them who they are. So they can see themselves, and in seeing themselves, they see what they like, they see what they don't like, and then they can make a decision about whether they want to change what it is that they don't like about themselves. So I just want to begin by saying that was an impressive introduction, and even though I know it came totally naturally to you and was not difficult, to me, that's almost miraculous that you just, you know, pulled these words out of the air and threw them back into the world.
Well, I appreciate that a lot, and that's why I'm willing to be a radio host who isn't worried about what comes out of my mouth next. And I hope that it's good, but I do trust myself too.
Well, you're actually following what it is that Freud invented. I mean, he formulated it, and he had a word for it. We've been doing it ever since man is develop language, which is free association. You're just following the train of your brain and of your mind and of your thought processes, and sometimes probably even your feeling processes. And that's a beautiful thing. And that's what, as a psychoanalyst, that's what I train my patients to do, is to say what comes to their mind. And you would be amazed at how few people really give themselves the freedom and the license to do that. There are always blocks. There are always thoughts and feelings that people think that they're not supposed to have. And it's very freeing when you can help them to resolve those blocks and then come to be. I mean, when Freud decided on the term psychoanalysis, and I know we're going really far afield from holistic health here, but you know, this is what I do. I mean, it's half of what I do. The other half is holistic health, which we
obviously get back to that.
So when he wanted to name his technique, the reason why he chose psychoanalysis is because the word psyche, is the etymology of it is that it means butterfly. And the thing about butterfly is that It's free. It flies. It's not bound by the restraints of gravity. And analysis, of course, is kind of the opposite. Analysis is when you take things apart and you want to understand their component parts. So in contradistincting those two, the freedom of the psyche and the rigidity of the analysis, he's got a very complex technique that incorporates both of these things. So you're bringing structure to freedom. That's what psychoanalysis is. And somebody who's mastered the art and technique of free association is somebody that has become very smart, because they're allowing the freedom of their brain to take them where it is that the brain naturally wants to go.
Right. But a lot of people, as I introduced the show, a lot of people take exception to that because I think outside of the box. And too many people are threatened by that and really want to hold on to these boxes of preconceptions that they want to feel safe with.
Okay, well, the world is in such a dangerous place right now. If we don't start thinking out of the box, we're going to doom ourselves.
Right. And that was the show that aired today, what was about how we're going to repeat the fall of the Roman Empire.
It's very scary, yeah.
Yes. So that's why I really appreciate your talent and your mind to understand things. We spoke briefly before the show, and I told you how many people rage at me because I bring up my that I'm in favor of hydroxychloroquine based on research, based on science, based on many 53 studies that have proven that it works wonderfully, against one recent study that proved that it didn't, and that study was debunked. So, but that study is what got a foothold in society. And now people think that this is a dangerous drug, but it's actually saving lives all around the world, except in America, where we've outlawed it.
It brings me back to Freud. So Freud was a scientist of the mind, but he did say at one point that he believed that the future of what we now call psychiatry, or what we could call even psychoanalysis, is in biology. And similarly, in the holistic field, and I am a holistic practitioner, and I do own two holistic centers, one in Puerto Rico and one in Manhattan. I love etymology. I love going back to the root of words to see what their original meaning was. So holistic means whole. And whole means that we're looking at whatever works. We have to be open-minded. Hydroxychloroquine is a drug. You and I bond over holistic health. We bond over natural treatments. We bond over the beauty of nature and the healing power of nature and the healing power of the right water and the healing power of the right food. But here we are embracing a drug because the drug works. So I was mentioning to you before we went on air, one of my friends is an MD. He got COVID very early on. Right after Trump had talked about its power to help to reverse the symptoms of COVID, and because he was an MD, that was when nobody could get it because it was a run on it. But as an MD, he was able to get it, and he took it. He also did high-dose vitamin C, and 2 days later, he had no symptoms.
Right. And your sound cut out just as you said vitamin C. You said drips.
So yeah, IV.
An IV, right?
Yeah. So he made a podcast of this, and it went online, and all of the physicians that had seen this all over the country started calling him and saying, "Oh my God, this vitamin C drip! I have a patient who's near death. How can I get the vitamin C?" He had about 10 different things in his IV drip, and they all wanted to know his formula, and he was happy to share the formula with them. But the vitamin C was the problem. They could get the glutathione and they could get the this and the that. But he was using 24,000 milligrams of C. So one of the doctors was from New York, and he said, "I have a patient who's near death. She's in the hospital. I need to get her the vitamin C, the high dose vitamin C, but the hospital won't let me bring in more than 2,000.
Right.
Bill was using 24.
Yeah, there are a lot of stories actually around the world of hospitals refusing vitamin C when it's the only thing left to save the life of people.
And the Japanese, since the beginning for COVID, have been using it. They've been using 25,000, and they get very good results from it.
Right. So, you know, these are, and I'm glad we're talking about, you know, how to help people with the virus, because, and we did a show not long ago about that, because that's what's so primary in people's minds. But if we really had hydroxychloroquine available, and it's used in the early stages, not late stages, people wouldn't be getting to the late stages, and then life would go back to being normal. And unfortunately, we don't have that. So in the meantime, you and I are looking at so many different health opportunities. And your La Casa spa in the city, and also in Puerto Rico, you have, for instance, what's called a HOCAT. I like to call it HOCAT, H-O-C-A-T-T. And that's a chamber you get into with your head sticking out of, and it infuses you with ozone. It's like a hyperbaric chamber in a way.
It's not like a hyperbaric chamber.
But it looks like it in a way. You know, you're not totally immersed in it.
It doesn't look like the hyperbaric chamber that I have, actually. The hyperbaric chamber I have, you lie in.
I have one. No, I know that. But in other words, your body is just being infused with a gas of ozone.
Your body, but not your brain. And The difference is that in the hyperbaric, that's used a lot for brain concussions and brain issues. And so the point is that you're in it and your whole body and your head is in it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the thing about ozone, and this is going to lead us into talking about hormesis. So ozone is a gas. It's O3. Oxygen is O2. So you just add a molecule to oxygen, you get ozone. Ozone kills every pathogen known to mankind. Ozone kills cancer cells upon contact. Ozone, I think, is the most powerful detox therapy that we have on the planet. So La Casa has been doing ozone therapies ever since we have existed for 27 years. We're the oldest wellness center in New York City. So doing ozone, and there are a few people that do ozone in the city besides La Casa.
Right. Dr. Howard Robbins has... he's been injecting me with ozone for years now.
Yeah.
And it's
really ozone is, and in Germany it's used a lot. So ozone is wonderful, but ozone is not the only thing that the Hocket delivers. The reason why I fell in love with the Hocket, which I basically spent my life savings buying because it was so expensive, is that it combines 10 different therapies. La Casa offered all of those therapies that the Hocket now does in one fell swoop in a half hour. We offered all of those therapies separately. So we offered infrared, we offered ozone, we offered frequency-specific microcurrent, we offered PEMF, pulsed electromagnetic field. But if you do all of those separately, then it takes 3 hours at La Casa. The beauty of a Hocket is that you're doing all of them in this one unit that you're referring to, and you're doing them simultaneously. And so instead of spending your whole day and not going to work doing all these therapies at La Casa to get well, you're now spending a half hour. And the people say it's amazing. It's the best experience I've ever had in a healing treatment. So we love the Hocket.
I've had a couple of those treatments myself, and I love that. But also, you know, you mentioned hormesis. So what were you referring to?
Yeah, so the prevailing wisdom about ozone is, so when you hear like, oh, California, you know, the ozone level is high, and so your association is ozone is toxic. The fact is ozone is created naturally in the environment, in the atmosphere. It's the planet's antidote to smog and toxicity. So when there's a volume of particular ingredients that create what we're calling pollution or smog, the earth responds by creating this through, you know, some kind of electrical, biochemical mechanism that the earth is capable of. It creates what we call ozone, and ozone actually is the antidote. It is the cleansing mechanism of pollution. So
we're not taught that.
So when you hear that the ozone level is high, what you're really, you know, in LA, what you're really hearing is that the pollution level is high, and thank you to Mother Earth for trying to address that and creating the ozone in order to address the pollution and help to reduce the pollution. So similarly, when you do ozone, when you're creating ozone on purpose, because you want to use it therapeutically, the prevailing wisdom is that if you breathe it in, it will cause irritation to the lungs. And so—
And it does, and you start coughing a lot, because I've had that.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And now I'm going into hermesis.
Right.
In the hyperbaric, you want the oxygen, you want to be breathing in the oxygen, and you want the oxygen to get into your ears and your nasal passages and every place that will go into the brain, because it's really a great therapy for the brain. The ozone is exactly the opposite. The head is popped out of the little sauna unit, and then you put a towel around the person and you make it airtight so that the ozone is not released from the chamber that the rest of the body is in, because you don't want people to breathe ozone, because as you're describing, it causes an irritation to the lungs. Yes, it causes an irritation to the lungs, but so does when my daughter had 106 fever when she was 6 years old and she started hallucinating. She was 104, it was okay. Even 105, she was okay. But when she started hallucinating and talking nonsense, I thought, okay, this is a problem. I called her doctor and I said, I think Molly's fever is too high. What do I do? He said, do you have belladonna? I did. Belladonna.
That's a poison.
Belladonna is a poison, but I had the homeopathic remedy of belladonna. And in that dosage, which is basically a frequency, it's not, there's no biochemical residue even in homeopathic belladonna. But I gave her the belladonna, and 20 minutes later, her fever went down to 101. So in the right dose, Paracelsus said everything is dose. The poison is in the dose. So in the right dose, we can use poisons to heal. In the right dose, in an overdose, we can create an injury.
And this is why you're in favor of radiation hormones.
Exactly. So when you administer a dose that creates damage, but it's not permanent damage, it's like a temporary acute damage, the body responds, just like Mother Earth responds to pollution with ozone. The body responds also to injury and to toxicity. And in that response, it creates a healing mechanism or a healing operation. It stimulates the immune system. It stimulates all kinds of, you know, cells that come to the, like when you have a splinter in your finger, you know, red blood cells move there, white blood cells move there.
This is how vaccines are supposed to work.
Yes. And I don't object to vaccines on a theoretical basis.
If they're made properly.
If they're made without poisons. Right. Even low-level poisons. Because the poisons that they use, there is no level. The mercury that they used to use mostly, they're taking it out, the aluminum. The body can't use that.
Right. It's too strong, the dosage. It's not
We never aluminum, a homeopathic mercury. So no, it's never been created. So we don't know whether we could use aluminum homeopathically as a healing device. But if I wanted to try that, again, just like with belladonna, I would only want to use the energetic representation of it, not the biochemical representation.
Right. So all these things that people are afraid of, and actually the government is now starting to rail against homeopathics, saying, well, these are dangerous because these are poisons. Well, they're not poisons at the level of the homeopathic remedy itself.
They're energetic, but even energy can be toxic. I mean,
yes, no, but
5G is energy.
Right. Right, but I imagine that they're at such a level that they're really beneficial rather than harmful if when used properly. And that's why people of knowledge are the best people to dispense homeopathic remedies.
Yes.
Right. And so what we're talking about is being outside of the box, but smartly. Because a lot of people are afraid to go outside of the box because they're afraid of being lost and being foolish. And they don't trust themselves and they don't trust others who have profound knowledge. You know, in the medical industry, they say new innovations in medicine usually take a long time to be accepted by the medical industry, usually about only 27 years.
So I go back to hormesis and radiation hormesis specifically. Sure. So my little dog Lily, 6 pounds, was dying. $4,000 into 4 different vets. Nobody knew what was causing her to die. They just knew she was dying. She had not eaten in a week. She hadn't drunk water or anything else in a week. She was so weak she hadn't moved in a week. I was keeping her alive by bringing her to a vet every day and getting her subcutaneously rehydrated with injections. And so one of my psychoanalytic patients came in. She herself had just gotten a dog. She looked at Lily. She said, "Oh, what's the matter with Lily?" And I said, "Well, she's dying and we don't know why or what to do." And she said, "Oh, bring her to Donna on the Upper West Side." So I called Donna on the Upper West Side, went up to Donna on the Upper West Side that night, 10 o'clock at night, because that was when Donna got home. And I had Lily in my lap, and Donna had this machine, and it had tubes coming out of it. And so we wrapped Lily in these tubes and gave her a treatment for about 10 minutes. And then I put Lily on the floor, and she walked around the apartment. She had enough energy to be curious. Again, she had not walked in a week. That machine was a PEMF machine. The next day, I went out and bought my first PEMF machine for $25,000. I was so impressed with it. I now have about 7 PEMF machines. I have one. I'm sitting on it right now, actually, in my home, and I have a bunch of them at La Casa, and I have a bunch of them in my apartment in New York. So I really believe in PEMF.
And I have one, too, by the way.
So
a smaller version of yours.
Yeah, they're great. The Russians discovered the importance of pulsed electromagnetic frequency for health through when Yuri Gagarin, the first cosmonaut, came down from his 58-minute space flight. I forget exactly how long it was, but it was very short. He was near death. And they said, "We can't send somebody out again until we find out what happened to Yuri." His entire metabolic system had collapsed. And what they realized is that when you're separated from Earth's gravitational and magnetic field, that you begin to die. And so every space flight since then has had a PEMF device, PEMF energy, so that these people don't come back near death. So that's PEMF. So back to Donna. So I'm in Donna's apartment. Lily's now walking around the apartment happily. And Donna says, she puts a bowl of water on the floor and she says, "Does Lily want some hormesis water?" And I said, "I don't know. What is it? What's that rock doing in the water?" She said, "Oh, that's radioactive." I grabbed Lily and I ran to the other side of the room because I know, right? I mean, I avoid x-rays. When I go to the dentist, I don't have x-rays. I don't like radioactivity. And so that began a whole educational process of me of learning about low dose hormesis radiation therapy. And I ended up writing a book called The Hormesis Effect. So it turns out low-level radiation, it gives greater fertility, it gives greater longevity, it gives greater health, it does everything good for life and humans. And I'll just mention really quickly two studies that are very telling. The Japanese, even long before or Fukushima, they knew radiation poisoning, radiation therapy than anybody on the planet because of Nagasaki, Hiroshima. So they did a study after the bombs were dropped and they took concentric circles from the epicenter. The epicenter, everybody died because everybody basically was burned to death.
It was too much.
They didn't die from radiation poisoning. They died from being burned alive. That's different.
Right.
So then you go out in ever increasing distance in these concentric circles, and then you get to the far region where there was no dose exposure. And then you come in a little, and then people had a little dose exposure. Those people have lived longer than the people that had no dose exposure.
That's wonderful to hear. We're getting near the end of the show. I think letting people...
The short version is there are over 3,000 medical studies, gold standard medical studies that show that low level exposure to radiation has all kinds of health benefits. And so Jay Gutierrez, who rediscovered this technology, went out and mined thorium stones and fashioned them into things that are wearable now. And you can sleep on them. There's a water stone. Lily, it completely reversed Lily's illness. Lily lived another 13 years after that.
That's
19. She was 6 when it happened.
So, Jane, it's so incredible hearing your adventures in holism. And it's exciting to talk with you, and hopefully we'll have you back on Energy Stew again at some point in the near future, because you have so much to tell us on so many levels. We even started off hitting a level that I didn't expect about psyche.
Always happy to be on your show, Peter.
Oh, thanks so much. And you have La Casa Spa, and people can look you up on the internet.
My professional website is DR for Dr. Jane Goldberg. LaCasaSpa.com is the New York website. La Casa Spa and Wellness Puerto Rico is the Puerto Rico website. We're hoping to reopen Puerto Rico as soon as COVID passes. So we're looking for a fall reopening. And I think that as all these healing devices, the ozone, the Hocket, you know, the infrared, the PMF, they're all great, but they're really substitutes, because the best healing that we have is being in nature. All of these things exist naturally in nature. When I'm on my farm in Puerto Rico, there's a thunderstorm at the top of El Junque where I am in the rainforest. And I smell the ozone. It's wafting down from the top of El Junque because ozone is created in thunderstorms. So I don't have to manufacture ozone. I'm breathing it in.
This is a great way to end the show, Jane. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Peter.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at prn.fm. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.